And I probably could come down just a little bit volume-wise. Praise God. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. This morning we are ministering throughout the state of Alaska. Praise God. Amen. Sterling has always been involved in youth missions and outreach and helping in churches throughout the district, and that has always been our heartbeat, and we love to do it. But this morning, we feel the number crunch as the Pelleteers are in Homer, the Seagraves are in Eagle River. Praise God, and it's just how it is. We pray for them today that God would minister through them and that they would have powerful moves of God in their services today, in Jesus' name, amen. But we're here, praise God, and we're going to have good church. We're going to learn something from the Word of God today, amen. Anybody excited about that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm excited about 21 pages of notes, amen. Praise God. I don't know how I'm going to get through that, but we're going to try this morning. So good to have all of those that are on Facebook Live this morning. We're glad that they're with us as well. Amen. Praise God. I pray that you would be blessed with our services today and that God would move in your lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to be learning about Nathan, the prophet of righteous justice. We're going to turn very quickly to James 5, 19 through 20. And we'll read through those, our lesson text, our focus verse, and get into this lesson. James 5, 19, 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. 2 Samuel, starting in chapter 7, 1 through 5. Then also 2 Samuel 12, 7 through 14. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? 2 Samuel 12, 7 through 14 says, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Do you see the change? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them to thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives, and in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Thank you, Jesus. Howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Sin and consequences. Thankful for a righteous voice of justice in our lives. And that is what Nathan was a voice of justice. We need that. We need to understand that our sins are not just sins. They don't just affect our lives. They affect those around us. And there are consequences for sin. There are consequences for sin. Our focus thought today, because God loves us, He uses people in our lives to correct us. Uses people in our lives to correct us. And I'm thankful for that. I can't always see the things that I may be doing that I may be in error. I'm human. I can justify almost anything. That's in my nature. I can make everything that I do in life seem like it's okay. So I need people in my life who are willing to and are bold enough to speak into my life and correct me. Hallelujah. It starts at birth, goes through childhood. Thankful for parents who correct their children. I said, I'm thankful for parents who correct their children. All right, that'll preach right there. And then as I get older and I get a job, I'm thankful for bosses who train and correct me to do the right job the right way and do it safely. I'm thankful for those opportunities. And as I'm growing up in church, I'm thankful for a pastor, a Sunday school teacher who will correct me and help me to grow. Amen? Praise God. I need that in my life. I need that in my life. Hallelujah. For 120 years, the United Kingdom of Israel was governed by three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon. Samuel served as the initial prophet to the United Kingdom and anointed both Saul and David as kings. The pattern of a king and prophet association was established with King Saul and Samuel. It continued throughout the remaining history of the kings of Israel and Judah in the Old Testament. What Samuel was to King Saul, Nathan was to King David. Nathan was the voice of righteous justice in times of great personal crisis. Anybody ever been in great personal crisis? Has anybody, while you're in that situation, ever had a voice of justice speak into your life? In that time where you think you just need words of comfort. Just speak to me words that are going to encourage me. Words that are going to lift me up. Words that are going to make me feel better. Maybe just tickle my ears just a little bit. Make me feel good in this very painful time in my life. I'm going through a crisis. I need someone just to love me and maybe give me a hug. But God knows that sometimes we need a little bit more than a hug. Sometimes we need a word of justice. Maybe if you would fix this in your life. Maybe if you would get this out of your life. Remove this sin out of your life. Turn away from these things in your life. This personal crisis can be turned around and God can get glory. I need that in my life. Nathan was that voice of righteous justice in times of great personal crisis. Had it not been for Nathan, the everlasting kingdom of David may not have been established. Nathan's voice caused David to repent of his sins, caused him to correct the error of his ways and continue to serve and lead Israel into greater physical and spiritual development. A strong threefold leadership court of king, prophet, and priest emerged with David, Nathan, and Zadok. With David as the king, the people of Israel had a compassionate ruler with their interests at heart. With Nathan as their prophet, a clear vision of righteousness was always priority. With Zadok the priest, the blessing of loyalty to leadership and faithfulness to Moses' law strengthened the kingdom. David was the people's king. Samuel was chosen of God and accepted by the people as the prophet from his youth. His voice of resistance to the king for Israel was evident in his warning to the people in 1 Samuel 8, 7 through 22. This is not God's plan for you to have a king like other nations. But they insisted, and God granted their desire. God chose Saul to be their first king. He directed Samuel to anoint Saul. Saul was a warrior. He was literally head and shoulders above others, but humble when Samuel anointed him as king. Saul's human shortcomings became apparent with time. Most of us know the story. There appeared to be no altars in Saul's life. Disobeying Samuel's instructions concerning the Amalekites, he spared the king, some of the sheep and some of the cattle. Doesn't seem like a big thing. Good sheep, good cattle, why? Kill them, waste them. And what can the king do? He's destroyed. His nation is underfoot. What can he do? You missed it, Saul. You missed it. It's about obeying. It's about your disobedience. Samuel, now older, had to face the reality of anointing a new king. A new king. One chosen of God, but very much unlike Saul. Anointing David as king must have been bittersweet for Samuel. The bitterness of Saul's failures and the sweetness of David's love for God. David was to be the new king, and Nathan was to be the prophet for King David. The gifted king and prophet. David was a man of many talents and gifts, and I think we all can see that while reading through Scripture. We can see how blessed he was and talented he was. It seemed like everything David was involved in prospered and was successful, and it didn't matter if it was just tending the sheep and the bear and the lion. It didn't matter what those things were. There seemed to be a talent to succeed in those things. I'm going to pick up this instrument, and I'm sure there weren't a ton of instructors out in the fields that could show him how to play an instrument. Natural, God-given talents and gifts. You could see this in David's life. He was a man of many talents and gifts. His strength was that of inner character and courage rather than physical brawn. He was a natural leader. David placed his trust in the name of the Lord and accomplished great things for Israel. For with God, all things are possible. We can look at the man David and say he was amazingly gifted and talented. But the reason he was is because he placed his trust in God. He understood that with God all things are possible. He was cunning in playing. He was a musician. He was a songwriter. He was a mighty valiant man. He did not back away from a fight. Oh, there's a giant? Okay. Point me to him. Oh, there he is. I can see him. All you guys are cowering. I'm going to face this thing. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to attack. He was a mighty, valiant man. He was also a man of war, righteous anger and justice. He drew the sword in defense of righteousness and refrained from using the sword to take Saul's life. Very easily could have. Prudent in matters. David was an intelligent person, wise in words. He understood both sheep and men. Anybody a sheep here today? Praise God. Thankful for a pastor who understands sheep and men. Praise God. He surrounded himself with strong, faithful men who were loyal to him and to the nation. How important it is for us to surround ourselves with strong, faithful men and women who are loyal to the work of God and to his kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. He was a comely person. What's that mean? David had it going on. He was a handsome dude. Amen. Amen. So if I come up to you after church and say, Brother Wade, you are a comely person. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. A comely person. Doesn't seem like a compliment nowadays. Praise God. The Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. So important. And David understood this. The Lord was with him. Hallelujah. In Acts 13:22, David is characterized as a man after God's own heart. David was also a prophet. Did you know that? His messianic prophecies were scattered among the Psalms. He wrote under divine inspiration. Talented, gifted, anointed. He was the beloved king. Saul has slain his thousands. David, his 10,000s. Saul was pretty good. David, pretty awesome. Right? That was the people's song. Israel rejoiced with their beloved king, was singing, dancing, and feasting in 2 Samuel 6:19. I'll get it out here in a second. Praise God. Because he was a king with a heart for the people, God loved and favored him. Now Nathan. Prophets or seers, one who sees. They were important in David's life. There was three prophets, Samuel, Gad, and Nathan. Samuel was to David a beloved elder, a trusted friend, a counselor, a fatherly figure, a statesman, and most of all, a prophet. Samuel was there for David during his formative years, and his influence remained with David until Samuel's dying day. The prophet Gad joined David while he was in the wilderness when he was fleeing from Saul. It seems like Gad remained a part of the royal establishment in Jerusalem throughout the reign of David and wrote the history of David in a book at his death, 1 Chronicles 29:29. Nathan was a contemporary of Gad. Both remain as a part of the royal court with access to David. Both participated in establishing musical arrangements for the house of the Lord. Praise God. Very interesting. And both wrote of the acts of David at his death in 1 Chronicles 29:29. But Nathan emerged as the predominant voice of the Lord during the heart of David's leadership. Nathan, the prophet. God has always provided counsel. Have you ever been in a situation where you pray, God, I need a word. I need, speak to me, God. And nothing. Crickets. If that. Just silence. It feels like you've gone on your snow machine out as far into the wilderness as you possibly go, and you turn everything off, and the light, the sun is down, and there's stars out, and there's no wind. You're just, it's just silent. It's a beautiful thing in Alaska. If the world gets too noisy, try that once. Just make sure it's going to start again, because you don't want to get stuck out there. But it's like flying along in a plane and killing the engine. Maybe a little safer than that, but it's just quiet. Yeah. But God always gives counsel. Some of his counsel is maybe you need to learn a little bit of patience in your life. I'll speak to you through somebody you don't want to hear it from. Oh, really, God? I don't really care for that person's advice, and they're trying to speak into my life, and I'm asking for an answer, and they're telling me what kind of an answer that sounds like you, but I don't like them. God always will counsel you. Praise God. He will always give you a word. He always speaks to his people. Sometimes we just have to be quiet long enough to hear it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are times when I am done praying that I hear God say, "Will you just be quiet for a second? I really want to speak to you. Could you just take 5 minutes and listen? I enjoy the praise and I enjoy the worship and I understand the needs, but can you just listen to my counsel for just a moment this morning? I need to speak to you." Zip it. Amen. But God has always provided counsel. From his voice in the Garden of Eden to the Comforter who lives in our hearts today, he always provides counsel. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, even to the end of the world. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So be it. Period. It is so. Hallelujah. Nathan, he was the king's friend. Spiritual leadership is often a lonely place where trusted friends become a great asset. David had such a friend in Nathan. He was there during the early good times of growth and prosperity for the kingdom when David wanted to build the temple. We read about that this morning. And in the mid-years when David sinned and needed straight talk to correct his wrongs in order to continue in leadership, Nathan was a friend and Nathan was there. Nathan was the voice of righteous justice who befriended David throughout his reign as king. No greater friendship could exist than one that guides an individual into a true relationship with the Lord. Did you hear that? We have friends, we have coworkers, of people that we talk to, people we say we are friends with. No greater friendship could exist than one that guides an individual into a true relationship with the Lord. How much do we value that friendship of someone outside of church? Someone that does not know God. Well, I don't want to push. I don't want to hurt. But I want to love them. I want them to know the God that I know. I want them to be able to serve the God that I serve. I know what God's done in my life. I know what he can do in your life. My greatest sign of friendship to them is to lead them to God. Showing my love. How great is your friendship? How great is your friendship today with those that do not know God? Help us today to show your love, to lead those to the cross. Hallelujah. So that God can minister into their lives. and change them, even if they don't want to be changed. Change them and make them whole and complete and blessed in Him. Hallelujah. Page 11. Praise God. I got to get to 21. Nathan was also the king's advisor. With Gad and Nathan, David had God-qualified advisors as prophets with vested personal interest in him and the kingdom of Israel. Nothing is more comforting than a word from the Lord brought by a friend in time of trouble. I was praying for you the other night. And I really feel to say this to you today. Anybody ever said that to you? Anybody ever said that to you? There's been many times. Didn't matter what it was. It could have been a big thing. Could have been a small thing. A crisis, a non-crisis, whatever it might be. Decisions in my life. You pick up the phone. Do I really want to talk to them today? Caller ID has ruined the move of God sometimes in my life. Do I really want... Okay. Do I have an hour? I don't know. All right, I'll answer the phone. God told me to tell you this. And it was what I was looking for. It was the answer that I needed. It was the counsel that I needed from a godly friend who loved me enough and was concerned enough for me and my soul, that was willing to answer the call and make the call to speak into my life. Nothing is more comforting than a word from the Lord brought by a friend in time of trouble. Word from the Lord, yes, I needed that. A rebuke from the Lord? Yeah, I needed that as well. Praise God. We all need that from time to time. Anybody enjoy getting rebuked? No. Anybody need it today? Praise God. We'll come back there right now. We'll rebuke you something. I don't know. We'll come up with something. Praise God. We all need a rebuke from time to time. Straighten us out. Toe the line. Straighten up. Fly right. Praise God. No one's in that boat this morning. I see the little halos. Praise God. The prophet's rebuke. David sinned. Bottom line, David sinned. There is never justification for sin. We can try, but there is never justification for sin. It is always wrong, and it always has consequences. But there are times in life when it seems people are more prone to do wrong and commit sin. These times include times of stress, midpoints in life or midlife crisis, like we like to call it, and experience, and times when individuals are relaxed from the pressures of obligations and commitments. More likely to sin under heavy stress, or when we're too relaxed. Pretty much any time, right? That's pretty much our life. That pretty much spanned just one day in our lives, right there. From the stress, oh, I got to get ready for church this morning, got to get going. And then you finally get here and you sit down and pray. Whew, I'm relaxed now. I made it. I'm here on time. Any time in our life, we can sin. We are prone to sin. It is in our flesh. It is in our nature to sin. Right? And there is no excuse for it. Doesn't mean that it does not happen from time to time in our lives. But with God's help, with His Spirit in our life, listening to His counsel, praise God, we can live above sin. We can overcome. We can be more than overcomers. More than conquerors. Hallelujah. Right? Praise God. So, in all of these wonderful times, these relaxed times, stress times, midlife crisis, neither youthful indiscretions nor age-related tolerances can be ignored. Sin is sin, regardless of how and when it happens. Something as simple as staying home. Something as simple as staying home. And I think you know where what happened to David when he stayed home. It was the time when kings were to go to war. It wasn't a sin for David to stay home. It was a little odd. It wasn't the normal pattern of things. It wasn't necessarily wrong. But he stayed home. He stayed home, relaxed. There was no sin in not going to battle. But there was a vulnerability and a weakness in non-commitment. God, help us to stay committed to this thing. Hallelujah. Stay committed. Stay faithful. Hallelujah. Don't let us be vulnerable and weak in our non-commitment, in our unfaithfulness. Help us today to stay committed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stay on our toes. So David stayed home, and we know the story with Bathsheba and Uriah. Where Bathsheba is stolen, and Uriah is killed. Could you imagine being Joab? Joab had to follow the king's orders. Joab, somehow, we talk about sin affecting only, well, it's only going to affect me. No, David's sin affected all kinds of people. David's sin affected Joab. Joab had to make a false attack. I'm going to attack over here, and then when it gets really, really bad, I'm going to tell everybody else, except Uriah, we're all going to pull back so that he gets killed, so that I can fulfill the orders of my king. Sin affects people around you. Sin can destroy lives around you. People that are watching your example. People that are struggling in their own lives and looking up to you as a godly example in your life, and you fail and you fall and you make a spectacle of yourself with sin, and all of a sudden your life is destroyed. But all those that are watching you, and family members and friends and coworkers who are looking at your witness, are also destroyed. God, help us to stay committed. Hallelujah. Stay strong in our witness. Amen. David followed the same pattern of sin experienced in the beginning by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and by Achan in Exodus from Egypt. The pattern is they saw something forbidden, they coveted it, they did wrong by taking what they coveted, and they attempted to hide their sin by covering them. So take note today. Be thinking. Look, take, hide. Sin. It's an easy pattern to follow down. Easy path to go down. Look, take, and hide. David thought he had covered his sins. Thought he'd got it all, even though there was how many witnesses? To the death of Uriah? How many witnesses? How many people knew? He thought he had it all covered up. It's going to be okay. No one's going to know. He could not hide them from God. And David ended up suffering the consequences of his sin. We can come to this altar and cry and repent and get everything right with God. Everything right with God. And He will wash the slate clean. Hallelujah. In baptism in Jesus' name. He will wipe the slate clean. But I've seen time and time again people that have come in that have consequences of sin that is still very, very visible in their life. And God just has to strengthen them, and we have to love them through them going through the consequences of the sin that they committed. There are consequences to sin. That's just how it works. Hallelujah. God can sometimes take us out of a situation, but sometimes God's going to take us through that situation, because we're going to learn not to commit that sin again. Praise God. I'm not going to go out and buy that $70,000 truck again. Not going to do that again. Whew, there's consequences. Every month. For 10 years now. No, not for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Never again, Lord. Never again. Look, take, and hide. Sin. You cannot hide it from God. It is the amazing mercy of God that speaks to our hearts and gives us space and time to repent. Space and time. After long months of living with guilt, the Lord sent Nathan. Can you imagine living with all of that guilt and shame? Like, I've got it hidden. Things are good, kind of. Don't quite feel right. I kind of feel okay, but I don't feel quite right. I just don't. I'm just going to go about my kingly duties, I guess. And hopefully this passes, because I don't quite feel right. And then Nathan shows up. Praise God. A voice of righteous justice. The Lord sent Nathan to David with a parable. David, I'm going to tell you a story. And it's a great one. I'll tell you a story. And through the story, David's getting, can't believe, the nerve of that guy. I love it. Nathan is a good friend. Nathan knew how to get through to David. Had he approached David with a, "You committed sin," right off the bat, "You're wrong." That's the king. Don't approach the king that way. "Let me tell you a story, king. Let me get you all worked up here about this bad, bad guy that you're going to do something about." Right? So, tells him the story. His friend, the prophet, who loved him and spoke the truth to David in love, the way truth is supposed to be presented, said, "Thou art the man." Now, all of a sudden, all this anger that David had towards some mystery person is identified. It's me. I'm the one. All of that anger that I had towards that one needs to be turned towards me. I need to make things right. And David knew that the Lord had revealed his sins to Nathan. Nathan pronounced judgment upon David. David knew immediately, "I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord." The judgment was the child was going to die. David was not going to die. When the child finally did die, David rose from the earth, washed himself, changed his clothing, and went into the house of the Lord where he worshiped. There was a span of time that the child was dying. And David prayed and he lamented and he cried and wanted God to change the situation. But the judgment was already pronounced. The judgment was fulfilled. The consequences came to pass. And David, when it was all said and done, went to the house of the Lord and worshiped. And when he worshiped after the consequences, that is when the healing process began. That is when he began to heal from the sin and the consequences, was when he worshiped God. When we come to the house of the Lord and we raise our hands in the midst of the trial that we're going through, when we lift our hands and say, "God, you're worthy of all my praise, all of my efforts today, all of my focus today is on you. I know that I'm going through some things, and I know that I have consequences in my life from sin that I've done in the past, and things are troubling me, and I can't seem to see my way out, but I'm coming out on the other side worshiping and seeing the healing happen in my life. We've got to get to that place on the other side of the consequence where we raise our hands, we lift our voice to God, and we worship Him and see the healing power of God come alive in our lives. We've got to see that. Hallelujah. Too many people have walked away after the consequence and said it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And fail to realize the true healing power of God in their life by just simply worshiping Him. Simply worshiping Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sin stops forward progress. And I'm obviously not going to get to page 21 today. Sin stops forward progress. It prevents the blessing of God and inhibits the joy factors of strength and victory from flowing naturally within our lives. It destroys our purpose. It separates us from our calling. It also causes others to suffer. Two important things that we need to learn from this. Is that David forgave himself. David forgave himself, and David did not stop being fruitful. The next child, the next son, was to be Solomon. Hallelujah. The next son. Praise God. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to get up. We need to worship. And we need to move forward and continue to grow. Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand this morning. Praise God. Praise God. I am going to page 21. Hallelujah. Talk about being a voice for righteous justice. The wonder of the gospel is carried by the voices of human beings, you and I, be they prophets or preachers, or saints, or friends, small or great, young or old. The voice of the believer proclaims the message of Christ on earth, so the voice of the Lord Jesus can reclaim a soul in heaven. Hallelujah. That's you and I being the voice of righteous justice. Hallelujah. Nathan was a prophet of righteous justice. His influence reached into the reign of Solomon, who gave the conclusion to the whole matter. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Jesus Christ is the new pattern of righteous justice. To be a Christian is to be like Christ. We hear His voice. We keep His commandments. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. His grace, our strength. His justice is administered in mercy. His truth is given with love. His rebukes are expressed in gentleness with the intent to lift and to heal. And to heal. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lift and to heal. Today, we pray for healing. We pray for healing and strength. The Abbots, Aaron, Sister Via, my wife, Sister Bartlett, hallelujah. The Pelletiers are in Homer. The Seagraves are in Eagle River. Jordan is not feeling well this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm sure that there are, as we continue to pray for the Wades, God would strengthen them today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Can we pray together? Hallelujah. God, we love You today. We thank You for Your goodness.